One of the oddest things that we experience reading the Kriyasa Torah of the Shabbos by Yaakov Pekude is to quote that famous malpropism of Yogi Berra. It's deja vu all over again. And while there are certain repetitions, you know, most famously Chazal comment that Yafes Yichasam Shal Aveavos Mitarasam Shal Bnei Banim, because there are many Gufei Torah that are hardly even mentioned, and the story of Eliezer Eved Avram is repeated twice. So Chazal acknowledges the point that really, I mean, there they explain it, Yafes Yichasam Shal Aveavos. This is not Yichasam Shal Aveavos. And as opposed to the, when you look at the stories of with Eliezer Eved Avram, and the two stories are actually somewhat different, and there are a lot of things to be learned from the differences between those two stories. Subtle differences. Whereas when it comes to Vayako Pekude, they are, for all intents and purposes, identical. Only slightly different enough in some cases to make Bali Kriya crazy. But fundamentally, from a substantive perspective, the Torah repeats the entire Pashas Truma Tetzaveh. Not only that, but when you look, it's not just Truma Tetzaveh and the details being repeated. The number of times that the Torah goes over listing all the elements of the Mishkan. In Parshas Kisisa, when they talk about the Shemen HaMishcha being used, they basically run through everything that it was used for. And then you're going to get to Vayakel and the beginning of Vayakel before you go into the details. You're going to get all the various things that are going to be made in the first Aliyah, in the Rishon of what's Vayakel alone. And then you get to Pekude, and when they finally bring the Mishkan to Moshe, so then, once again, there's the list of everything that's repeated there. So the Mishkan is repeated, the Maisa Mishkan is repeated like five times, sometimes B'Prat and sometimes just B'Klal. So what exactly is going on here? You know, there is a machlokas the Gemara has in Sot and elsewhere between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, that kol davar shenishneis, or kol parsha shenishneis, is only, Rabbi Yishmael says, is only nishneis for a davar shenishadish. I mean, the Torah will repeat an entire parsha just to be machadish one detail. And the rest of the parsha is just being repeated because you might say literary reasons, it has to be there because you can't repeat the detail in isolation. But nothing is to be learned from all the additional stuff. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, Rabbi Akiva doesn't believe you say that. Would say that you darshan everything. Similar to the machlokas, the Gemara attributes to them, Dibra Torah Kalashon Bnei Adam. It understands their machlokas over the double lashon, be as a function of whether we say Dibra Torah Kalashon Bnei Adam, or whether you believe in a term, I don't know if he coined it, but the late Professor Yaakov Hellman termed the omnisignificance, Chazal's view of the omnisignificance of Torah, that every single word, everything, there was nothing extra that were there not to teach you a particular thing. So even if one subscribes to, you know, Rabbi Yishmael's position, and you don't subscribe to the omnisignificance principle, and you say Dibur Torah Kalashon Bnei Adam, what exactly was Nishadesh when you go from Truma Tetzaveh Yaakov Pekude? What is the point in having all of these details? Now, from a purely Pshuto Shemikra perspective, although it's not entirely satisfying, if you study Canaanite literature, I know that it's a regular habit that many of people study, if you look at some of the literary myths, one particular example is the tale of Akkad, which is the story of Dan-El who wants a son, and you will recognize the names. He prays to Baal for a son. Baal brings his prayer to the chief god El. El grants his supplication, tells Baal to go back, tells the Baal he will grant it. And when you read the presentation, the description of why you want a son, what all the tasks that a son does. So it's repeated four times over, which in that case is fortunate because some of the pieces are fragmentary, so you know how to reconstruct it, because it's the same thing repeated over and over. And this is true stylistically. In other words, there is an element of Dibra Torah Kalashim and Adam that was a particular style of this repetition. In Kolzeh, it's not so satisfying. The Torah doesn't typically do this. This might be the only place where the Torah really, at great length, repeats in almost the identical form. So the question is, what then can we, all that aside, all the Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva question, all any possible Pshut Hashem Ekra, what is it that we can walk away with from the Torah's repetition? In great length, at great length, in great detail. So I want to suggest to you three things. The first is the importance of Chazara. One of my very wonderful chaverim
Rav Hirsch
many years ago quoted to me a pshat from one of his rabbeim, Shivat Shalvim, I don't remember who it was, that we say in the bracha, Hashkiveinu v'asir satan l'faneinu me'acharinu. So I understand what Hasir Satan l'faneinu is. I'm walking and the satan is going to trip me up. What does it mean, v'asir satan me'acharinu? What he told me, his rabbi said, is that this is actually referring to Talmud Torah. Hasir satan l'faneinu is that the satan is going to trip us up when we're learning and we're going to learn something improper. We're going to walk away with something, with a misunderstanding of Torah. We're going to make a mistake. And Hasar Satan Melacharenu is the Eitz Hara, not the Duchazara. And this is something that we all suffer from. We all suffer from it, and because of it, we forget so much of what we learn. And while the Mishnah says, you know, Yishamer Lecha Pentishkachas HaDvarim, and then the Mishnah in Avos says that Kol Shocheach Dover Echa Mipal Mudo Harezim Ischai Benafsho, and the Mefarshim should come along and to make us feel better and say, no, but it's only when, like, Mavatel, you don't pay. But to some extent, we're guilty, because we don't do Chazara properly. And because Chazara doesn't seem like it's fun. It's not as exciting as doing something new. But Chazara is absolutely essential. It's essential because if you learn half the amount, but you do Chazara, and spend half the time doing Chazara, you'll actually remember virtually so much of what you learned. And then when you learn new things afterwards, it's so different, such a different experience than when, as good as it was, you've forgotten most of the, or half the things that you've learned. So the Torah here, in great detail, once, this is the only place the Torah does it, is going over the Melechas HaMishkan, the quintessential, we might say, Avodas Hashem, in great detail, down to the letter, to remind us, to teach us that if the Torah is doing Chazara here, and the Torah is choosing to spend another two parshiyos worth of the Torah on it, then maybe we should think about doing that as well. It's particularly true in a world in which the world of education, which has had many failures, has moved away from the idea that people need to know anything, and just teach you, assume that people just should know how to think and reason and so on. And while thinking and reasoning is important, what we mostly have wound up in our educational system now is people who know nothing, nor can they think or reason. At least once upon a time when people memorized stuff, at least they knew something. Now, that most people, unfortunately, one can see this, have so much less than they used to have. I'm not advocating that everything should be memorization, but nonetheless, there are real chasronos to people who don't have some type of a database of knowledge in whatever particular field we're talking about. That's number one. Number two is the Torah and the repetition, despite what I said of the repetition being nearly identical, is not identical. There are small things that are different, not necessarily in substance, but as Balei Kriya appreciate very deeply in how certain formulations are presented. So whether this is Shlosha Gevi'im Mishukadim Bakanahe Achod Kaftarvafarach Ushlosha Bafarach Ushlosha Gevi'im Mishukadim Bakanehe Achod Kaftarvafarach in Truma, but in Vayakel it's Bikone Echod. The Hei Yidi is missing from the Echod, and therefore the vowel under the base before Kone can't have a Hei Yidi either, so it's Bikone Echod. And I know this because the first time I read it, Da'akab Kute, I made that mistake. I didn't read a hey, but I read Bakana Echad, and I was corrected because it doesn't say Bakana Echad, it's Bikana Echad. Or when you read Va'avnei Shoam in the beginning of Truma, in the beginning of Truma, it's Avnei Shoam without a Vav, and therefore it has Ezakev Gadol. But when you read Ve'avnei Shoam in the beginning of Vayakel, it's a Misigav Katon. I'm not really sure what the rules are for one or another, but it's slightly different. It doesn't change the meaning, but it is a little bit different. And so you have to pay careful attention to detail. So the repetition allows us to remember that as much as there was so much is the same, pay very careful attention. We live in a world where sometimes details just aren't so important. We talk about things. We don't actually do them very carefully. But your responsibility is to read Mishnayos very carefully. And if there's an element missing in the Mishnah that's not in the second half of the sentence, which is in the first half of the sentence, if the first half of the sentence says, Shema Isha and Makom Ploni, and the second half doesn't say Zesh Zemekomi, at least ask the question, why not? Maybe it's significant, maybe it's not. Pay careful attention to what you're doing. When you study Torah, or perhaps anything, but especially studying Torah, pay careful attention to what you're doing. Sometimes the differences don't matter, sometimes they do matter. But at the end of the day, one case is Bakana Echad, the other case is Bikana Echad, and I don't know if there's a great meaning difference, but you're certainly correct about Kriya. And Avnei Shoam
Well, if you read the right letters, even on the wrong chalk, we're not going to correct you. But pay careful attention. There's an importance in learning, and there's an importance in life in paying close attention to the tale. And the last part, which I would observe relates to, again, Torah study, is this alternating between the tales and the summary, which is a lesson in education, which is really twofold. Number one, and this is hard to do when you learn on your own. Maybe one of my senior colleagues here is very, I don't think most of us do this. I do it only a little bit. He does it in great detail that when he starts a sugya, he lays out all the possibilities. When he learns, of course, I don't think he lays out the possibilities. He has to figure out what the possibilities are. But when his students are learning, he lays out the possibilities, then he goes into the details. I don't know whether or not what he does at the end. I know one of the things that Rav Lichtenstein always used to do, I don't remember him when I was here, it was a public shiurim. This was not his shiurim in yeshiva. But when he would finish, Rav Aaron would always summarize. I can say I'm not personally very good at summarizing. I'm not really careful to summarize. I probably should. Students have occasionally asked me, if you nudge me, I should probably do a better job at that. But it's important that when you do a topic, that you try to outline things for people, and then you pay attention to the details, and sometimes you need to summarize and encapsulate what you did as well at the end. This is something that pedagogically, educationally, should be done as a teacher. You, when you study a sugya, it's an element. There's an element of chazaron. There's also something you should do. You learn the sugya. You go into it. Now step back and try to go over and see. Well, what are the broader strokes here to summarize and to encapsulate it for yourself. So, I don't know for sure why the Torah chooses to repeat Truma Tetzava in great detail, but I think that these are three lessons that we can draw from it. Number one, the importance, incredible importance of chazaron that we're so often lax in, self included. Number two is the importance of paying careful attention to detail. And number three, as part of our process of learning, of sort of stepping back sometimes and encapsulating and summarizing after we have done things in great detail. Have a good Shabbos.